Well, good evening.
Thank you. Man, this is a good crowd for Sunday night, and particularly for the night that it is. I am very glad that you're here. May we glorify God in our worship this evening. Let me tell you a couple things real quick. If you think you're invited to my house tonight, you are. By being inside the four walls, you're invited. There are slips of paper in the mailroom with our address on it. Everyone's invited to come watch Kansas City and San Francisco. We'd love to fellowship with you there. One other thing, my dog, Kobe, the barks a lot. He is in the red brick classroom. So if you go over there, he's in a kennel. Don't let him scare you to death. Because if that many people in the house, he'd either go nuts or bark the whole time. Okay, we are going to be looking in Matthew chapter 5, if you turn there for us. And I appreciate that Brother David's songs kind of carried the spirit of the lesson tonight. Wanting to be a worker for the Lord, letting our light shine in the world. This lesson is obviously about a verse with which you're familiar, but there, this idea of light permeates the Bible, and that didn't mean to make that make so much sense there. But yes, light permeates the Bible, and the idea of our light reflecting the light of Christ is important. I am not the first person to point this out. The moon produces no light, right? If we shine a light, it is not my light or your light. It is the light of Jesus reflected in our life. Mike Richardson, who I'm going to copy a little bit tonight, did a sermon one time called They Had Been With Jesus. And it was fantastic because he was talking about the apostles and people could tell they had been with Jesus. And what a great idea. Can people tell we've been with Jesus? Does our light shine? Do we change the room if we go into it? To be a light in this world, you have to be different than the world. If the world is all one level and I come into it on the seven levels of the world, I don't make any difference. So I want to let my light shine. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. This is right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, right after the Beatitudes. And Jesus tells us to be salt, and he also tells us to be light. So if you're in Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 14, and we'll read the text and see what Jesus says here. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now how is it that I can do anything that gives glory to God? Well, something gives glory to God when people see me change. When people see me do something they would not do, when they see me do something spiritual instead of carnal. If everyone loves their friends, but if I love my enemies, somebody sees that and they know that glorifies God. That's from God. That's not from earth. So what Jesus wants us to do is go read those Beatitudes. Ask yourself if I embody those Beatitudes perfectly, would people notice? Yes, they would, because we would be different, because they would go, something has happened to that young man that is different than the world has produced. Their light is shining. God is there. Jesus is there. They had been with Jesus. And then Brother Michael read to us from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, of course, deals with that famous passage about have this mind among you as with Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God in heaven, but came down, emptied himself and became a man. This is right after that passage that ends with confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. So in Philippians 2, verse 14, 2 and 14, we'll pick up the reading and see how we can let our light shine. Do all things without grumbling or questioning. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. Are you a parent? Read that verse when you get home, because that's what I want for my children. That's what we ought to want for our children. We want to raise the kind of children that says, even if I've given my whole life to make them who they are, I'm okay with that. When he talks about being poured out as a drink offering, I'll tell you something about a drink offering. You can't pick it back up. There was a basketball player at Austin Peay years and years ago named Habib Maiga. And Habib Maiga was from Africa, and the poor guy did not realize that if he quit the basketball team, they would cut his scholarship. So he's here going to college in America, and poor Habib gets tired of playing basketball. He's a sweet guy, and he quits the team. And Coach Luce had to tell him, Habib, you can't quit the team. You have to go back home. And I went to interview him in the middle of all this, and he said, it is like water. Once it is spilled on the ground, it cannot be picked up. And you know what? Habib was right. Because it is the same thing with the truth of our lives. Our life should be serving something or somebody. If our life is not serving something or somebody, can we say we've been poured out? Can we say, I'm good with the work I put in with this church or with my family or with my friends or at my workplace? Can I say, I'm happy with the fact that I gave my life to something? That's letting the light of Jesus shine for you and I. Do you think Jesus gave his life for something? Do you think he was okay with that? Yes, indeed he was. His light, our light shines when we, like Jesus, shine. Well, turn to John chapter 1 and verse 1. And we're going to take a look at a couple of verses in John here and about the idea of light and life being tied together. John chapter 1, of course, one of the most famous passages in the Bible. If you don't know where it is, it's a good one to know. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God. That text is very famous, and we know it very well. John wrote his gospel, people think, knowing that Matthew, Mark, and Luke had already been written. This is a little bit historical. And the idea is that John wanted to focus, instead of on the stories and the crucifixion of Jesus so much, on the deity of Jesus in the flesh. That's why John 1:1 starts like it does, because John is trying to drive home the fact that this Jesus, who did all the miracles and was crucified and resurrected, like the other gospels had already recorded, that he was indeed not just a man, but he was the Son of God. He was God. So John reads like this in John chapter 1, verse 1. We'll read through verse 5. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What does that mean? As long as there is life, there is hope. I don't care how unrepentant a sinner may be. My uncle, some of you were here when he was here for a gospel meeting, has been not a faithful Christian for years and years and years. He's in his 80s. Not only has he repented and come back to the Lord, he's growing spiritually. And it's fascinating to see. It makes me want to praise God that he not only has found himself in this late age, but it's not just something he's done because he thinks he has to, right? He hasn't looked at the end of time and said, well, I guess I better go make myself right with God. Whatever his motivations are, he has not only made himself right with God, he's giving himself to growth. Where there's life, there's light. Where Jesus is, there are both things. Because he is the light of the world and he is our eternal life. John 3:16, if you don't mind. We'll finish our lesson with a few verses out of John chapter 3. We'll read verse 16, of course you know, and then we'll skip down to verse 19. And we want to remember these ideas of Jesus is life. Why is he life? Because he is the eternal life. He was before creation, we found out in John 1. He will be there at the end. He was here now. He is the eternal life, and that he died and rose again. Death could not hold him. God proved he was the Son of God in his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord. He is life. But he's also light because he shows us the way to heaven. John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Life and light are tied up in Jesus. He is our light. He is our life. Our final set of verses will come from chapter 3 and verse 19 of John. John 3 and 19. I am behind, I apologize. John chapter 3. Now, a lot of people know John 3:16. Now, a lot of people don't know the end of the chapter. If you don't know the end of John chapter 3, I recommend you go read it. Because as much as people try to take John 3:16, and John 3:16 is a fantastic verse, please don't misunderstand me, but they try and take it and they try to say what? See there, that means we don't need baptism. Well, I assure you, John had no understanding of that at all. In fact, when he wrote John chapter 3, do you know what the first five verses are about? Baptism. In fact, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you are born again of water and the Spirit. For someone to come along 11 verses later and say, ta-da, see, you don't need to have baptism, would be like me saying, ta-da, you don't need to have faith. Neither one makes sense. So after 3:16, we have this teaching in 3 verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light, Jesus, has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. I don't have to tell you how ironic it is that the word works is in that text. What's the truth? Do I have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Of course I do. Do I have to believe God raised him from the dead? Of course I do. There's no other way to come to Christ. Do I also need to be baptized? Do I also need to live a life of allegiance to Christ? Yes. Why else would Jesus say, you are the light of the world? Why else would Jesus say that we need to work in the vineyard? Why else would Jesus say here that our works are important? If you didn't know that that word was in that last verse, let me read it for you again. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. I want to be a worker for the Lord. That's how we let our light shine. Let people know you've been with Christ. Let them know you're different. Live out the Beatitudes. I promise you, your light will shine. Bless those who persecute you. I guarantee you, your light will shine. Ask somebody to come to services. Tell them you went to services on Super Bowl Sunday night. Maybe you missed the first 5 minutes of the game. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to meet my Lord. I'm going to be with Him. That's what our blessings are. That's how we let our light shine. This lesson has been brief, but I will tell you I take very seriously my responsibility in this particular sermon every year. Because A, I don't want to punish you, but B, I want to make sure that I inject as much spiritual material into you as possible so that when we go out here and eat, we're full of the Spirit and ready to praise God. If you're not a Christian, we want you to be. If you are a Christian and you've slipped, maybe you've fallen into some bad habits that you need to get rid of, some sin has crept into your life, in either case, we want you to come forward. We want to baptize you for the forgiveness of sins if that's what's necessary, or we want you to repent and ask for prayer as we stand and we sing.